This is After the Final Rose with Dante and Alana, a siblings podcast talking everything Bachelor and Bachelorette.
Welcome back to another episode of After the Final Rose. I'm Dante Furco here with Alana Furco as well as Brennan Lamphere. We're going to touch on everything Bachelor. We didn't get a lot when it comes to the episode itself and Peter's journey, but we did see Women Tell All, and Women Tell All got brutal between the girls, and we're going to touch on everything that, Peter's finale, two-night finale next week, as well as the new Bachelorette. We're going to hit you with our thoughts and tell you what we think, but we're back, and I'm excited to talk Bachelor and send it over to you, Alana and Brennan.
Yeah, so as we all saw, last week's episode kind of ended with a little bit of a cliffhanger. Peter and Madison said goodbye. They didn't have a fantasy suite, so we were all left wondering, you know, what happened? Did they see each other afterwards? And as the show showed us, which I thought was really odd, that they just, like, went their separate ways. They didn't confront the situation and see each other at all. And I just kept thinking, like, if he truly loved Madison, I would just think he would have let the other girls go.
Yeah. I mean, it was sort of like what you said with not confronting the situation. That was like, sort of like Victoria with Hometowns, where they got in a huge fight and then she left. And then he ended up giving her the rose. And right. I feel like he loves when he's denied. It's like that old saying, if you ignore someone, they'll come crawling back. And I feel like when the girls ignore him and give him crap, he feeds off it and he loves it. And it was like with Victoria at first and then with Madison, but it was sort of awkward, the rose ceremony. Not awkward, but obviously he gives Hannah Ann the first rose and Madison does come back. She comes back right before the rose ceremony starts. They're all wondering where she is. Did Peter eliminate
her? The look on his face, it just showed that he was hurt. Like, he really, I don't think, believed she was coming back.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, so he gave Hannah Ann the first rose, and then it was down to Victoria and Madison, and he gave the rose to Madison. So Madison looked very reluctant at first. She was swallowing her pills and she sort of like hesitated. I don't know if she was trying to decide right there if she should accept it or like what was happening in that moment. It just sort of got, I felt bad for, I think everybody just in the situation because it was just uncomfortable for everybody. And then when she went up to Peter, there was sort of hesitancy with that as well.
Yeah, Dante, first and foremost, thanks for having me on the show, bud. Really appreciate it. Definitely want to throw my two cents in on this. First and foremost, I truly feel throughout this entire show, the one word that you can describe Peter has been soft. And it rings true. He has been soft with every single decision he's made. And honestly, it's the reason why the drama has been going on for so long, and obviously the producers and the situations they put the girls in don't help, but that's what their job is to do, and they don't, you know, tell Peter what to say or what to do, but he's clearly been a little soft when it comes to his decision making.
Well, he's so indecisive.
That, there was hesitation, exactly, and Madison, I think, has every right to hesitate there, especially after everything that Peter's kind of put her through. I think it's funny because I ask you this as a funny question, but if you are Victoria P after... Victoria F. Sorry, I'm a rookie with this show, but we're going to get it right. Victoria F. If you're Victoria F after Hannah Ann gets the rose, do you just walk off stage right there? Because you know that you're not beating out Madison. You know that Madison is humanity's friend. You know that she's the favorite to win the show, even though you're dating the same guy.
She also, yeah, I mean...
What are you feeling? What are you feeling if you're Victoria F right now? Because in mind, I'm just, you know what? I'm hopping off the stage and I'm taking the L.
Well, I also don't think she knows the connection that Peter has with Madison, because we see as viewers all of the dates that Madison and Peter goes on, and we saw what went down with the whole ultimatum with Madison to Peter, and like Victoria doesn't know that. I don't know if she knows maybe the extent of, because like in Victoria's mind, she could be thinking that she's the one that's the front runner, and because I don't know. I mean, it's hard to tell if you're not in those shoes and you're not in the house, but you might not know who is the front runner. She could be thinking of Tana Ann. She could also think with Madison showing up late that maybe there was tension and drama, which there was, between Peter and Madison, and that maybe she was getting the rose and she would be meeting Peter's parents in the finale.
Yeah, no, and that's a great point. I just think that, you know, knowing Victoria Tuff in the way that she was this season, you're right, she probably does that she's the front runner, yeah. Which boggles my mind.
Oh, yeah.
I definitely will not try and waste too much time or my quality of breath speaking her name tonight, because I do have select words of how I feel about her.
Mm-hmm.
And I just...
I think everyone's happy to see that she finally went home.
Everyone's happy to see her go.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
She seems like a great Paradise contestant because she's a drama star.
For sure.
She mm-hmm. really does, you know, have an IQ that doesn't seem very high, to say it nicely. So it'll be interesting to see where she goes after that.
Yeah. And we go straight from the rose ceremony into Women Tell All, and we got a lot of tension when it came to the girls going at each other, and it just, there was a point where it was a screaming match, and there were 30 different conversations going on, and the girls were just going
at the same time.
At it. It was ridiculous.
So, I just want to make a point before we get into all the girls that Natasha was not at Women Tell All,
mm-hmm.
and neither was Kelly. And there was, Reality Steve had wrote that apparently she was not invited. She told mm-hmm. people she wasn't invited. But if you saw on Twitter, Natasha ended up making a comment like, don't attach me with what happened to Kelly. Like, yeah. I couldn't be there.
Yeah, I read that
Because I feel
well.
Like Natasha, if she had the opportunity to be there, she would have loved to be there just to put Peter in his place.
And I feel like Natasha was a liked character, like a liked person this season. Like, she called Peter out on her crap, and people respected that. And you finally got to see her one-on-one with Peter, like, the last, like, her final day on the show. And you actually saw, like, the true side of her. And people liked that. And I think she would have been someone good. And she probably would have called Peter out, honestly, in Women Tell All.
Yeah, I would have liked to see that.
Just my 2 cents on Natasha here, because I do, she was my fifth and final pick in my Fantasy Bachelor league this year. First time owner, by the way. Didn't do that bad. I don't think I'm coming in first, though, which is definitely disappointing. Hopefully we will be able to, the GM and ownership will be able to turn it on for next year. But Natasha was my last and final pick, and you know, she was an intriguing pick because she was the most mature. I think she
was the oldest. Yeah, I believe so.
She was 31.
Right off the bat,
yeah.
You can just tell she was the most mature.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely brought some good content to the group, some mature content to the group, which is what was needed. So I consider her my UMBC. She was my final
the 16
pick. She
seed.
Made the top five. I'm super impressed, super proud of her. Natasha's my girl. I'll defend her till the day she dies. And, you know, I personally thought she shouldn't be in Women Tell All because she's too good for that.
Yeah.
She was way too good, way too mature for that. She probably thought and said, I don't want to be in this, you know, little cat fight going on here anyway. So I think Natasha's electric. And I hope, you know, she finds someone out there good enough for her.
I would like to see her on Bachelor in Paradise.
I'm sure we will. And if not, then the Bachelor Summer Games. Because that'll also be happening this summer. But going back to Women Tell All, Kelsey started on the hot seat, and she was the Kelsey we got to know and love at going down
at the
stretch of the season. Yeah, and then when she did talk to Peter at the end, I believe she thanked him so much for the experience. She doesn't have any ill will towards him, and that he taught her that there will be someone out there for her, and that this process taught her so much. And I always respect that, because she was down to the final four, and I think she felt blindsided at the end. But she...
Do you think that ABC had their batch, who the next bachelorette was going to be, in mind? Because I was actually, while watching Women Tell All, I felt like Kelsey was still trying to pitch and make people believe that she should be the next bachelorette.
I thought the way
she handled it, and she was so mature. So I'm curious if, like, she thought, okay, this is my last chance, or if all the girls knew that the next one was going to be picked.
I mean,
but I wrote down in my notes that I would have, after the last few episodes with her and Women Tell All, I think I would have liked Kelsey as bachelorette.
Yeah.
If you had to pick one girl from that season, I think I would have picked her. Like, I know she was super emotional. Like, they compared her to Ashley I, and they brought Ashley I out, but I think I would have enjoyed her as bachelorette.
I don't think they knew. I don't think anybody knew at that point that who the bachelorette was going to be. I know we'll get to it in a few minutes, but she was actually flown out to LA. It probably was during Women Tell All, but she was interviewed by the bachelorette producers and team to be the next bachelorette, along with a few other girls. But she probably was trying to make her case, because this was filmed, I believe, two Fridays ago, and I doubt any of them knew, and this was her last opportunity to plead her case. And maybe Victoria felt the same, honestly, because I don't think really anybody wanted her, but, like, when you get down...
Yeah, she switched to a whole nother person.
Oh, 100%. And she... I don't think Kelsey switched, but Victoria definitely did, and I don't know. I don't know, because I just don't think they would have known who the next bachelorette would have been by then.
The one thing that I will chime in on, Kelsey, is that, you know, she, during this episode at least, had agreed when she makes a mistake. And, you know, it seemed like back then she just didn't get it. She was too emotional, too touchy, you know, and there was no need to be the way that she was in the beginning, unless it was, you know, something to do with nerves, something to do with that. But I think she started to come along nicely and actually grew into her character, where in this Woman Tell All, you know, she is saying, you're right, I didn't tell people that I was sober. Like, she's just flat out
playing
these other girls and being the mature, the older one in the conversation.
Well, and that escalated to a whole new level, too, when it came to the women going at each other about that. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, no, you're good. I see her as maybe a top bachelorette option from this specific recruiting class, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe a top three prospect. If Mel Kiper had a big board, I think you're putting her on there as a top three prospect. You got it.
Oh,
because she definitely showed some great composure tonight. It seemed like she was in it to win it. It seemed like she's actually getting a following as well.
Yeah.
A little cameo with Barstool Trent at the end of the
game. Oh, yeah, I saw that.
And, yeah, so, you know, I think she's setting herself up for success here. I still cannot stand the fact that she cries in every scene. She will need to fix that, or else I can't watch her. She just straight up needs to fix
it. Well, that was like with Ashley
I. Every other scene, not every one.
That was the same thing with Ashley I. And Ashley I was... Ashley I was on, like, two seasons of Bachelor in Paradise, I believe, as well as Bachelor Winter Games, and she cried a lot. And every time she came in and was like,
"So
I'm
I don't
not
know,"
cry
I don't
season.
Think Brendan actually watched
Ashley I.
I don't think Brendan watched the season that Ashley I was that was a contestant, but he did see her in Paradise, and you know we all know that she kind of reminds me of me, but She ugly cries and I don't ugly cry.
That's on record. I didn't say that. She did. I'm just making sure.
But I did like, I thought it was really funny that she gave her the big ass bottle of champagne and like kind of, they made the point that like, yes, she cried a lot, but like, it's not a horrible thing to show emotion on TV. Like, I think they were just trying to go along with this whole bullying thing of like, it's no one is saying that you can't cry on these shows.
Mm-hmm.
It's just trying to make sure you're owning the fact that like, yeah, okay, I'm an emotional person.
Yeah.
I'm sensitive. So something that I want to mention while we have three Q's people here right now, Tammy continued to poorly represent Syracuse, New York at Women Tell All. I mean, those girls could not put her in her place more. And she kept trying to defend herself.
It just didn't
work. Which I get. Anybody would. But, oh, my God. Like, I'm speechless. I don't even know what to say.
Yeah. There were some girls that you actually saw a true side of them in Women Tell All. And then there were the ones where just the demon came out again. And then she did call out McKenna on something, and I felt the same exact way. Everything McKenna said sounded so scripted, and that she planned it out for weeks. And then everybody called out Tammy for saying that, and I agreed with her. But yeah, she... I love Tammy, but she just sort of just went downhill as the season progressed, and then in Women Tell All as well.
The way that she talked to people, the way that she disrespects people, it is the most accurate representation of someone from Syracuse.
Yeah, that's Syracuse, I mean, man.
You meet so many people like that, and it's not even Q's, it's just New York in general. New Yorkers are tough to deal with, you know, whether you're down in Long Island or you're upstate. It's just the New York way. People are rough and rugged like that.
Yeah.
But I will be honest with you, Tammy is just too much and too insulting. She thinks she's too much of the shit when clearly she's not.
Yeah. You're from Syracuse, New York. You can't be hot shit.
Mm-hmm. So, segueing into the next hot seat with Women Tell All, Victoria got the second hot seat after Kelsey, and we saw another side of Victoria, but the question is, was it all just an act? Because she really apologized for everything. I mean, I'm sure watching it back, she was like, wow, I look stupid. And she sort of said that. She said, I'm sorry. Like, I acted immature, and like, I see that now, and I could have handled everything different. And I hope it wasn't just her trying to please everybody. I mean, it seemed genuine, and I hope it was. And it sort of started making me like her, but after how this season went, it's hard too.
I do think that her tears and her sadness was genuine. I think she honestly probably watched the show and thought, wow, I need a reality check, which is okay. Sometimes that's how people realize, you know, like, I need to start fresh. But I did not feel bad for her because she couldn't have pushed Peter away more. Like, you know, yes, she owned her emotions, and yes, she apologized to Peter, and she said it herself. Like, she is the reason why her and Peter probably didn't last, because she just, she wouldn't be vulnerable with him, and she wouldn't let him in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Okay, dare I give the comparison of Victoria F. to Antonio Brown? Dare I do it? Because if you truly think about what both of these, and I will only reference this once, but this is how I feel about both of them. Pond scum is how I like to refer to both of these humans, okay? Pond scum. Write that down. I compare them both because AD is doing the same thing right now. They're both going on apology tours. Victoria F. Has, you know, kind of been humbled after I think she lost, or knew that she lost. She got voted off. But also, I can't help but go back to her argument in front of her house with Peter, where she tried to turn everything on him.
Yeah.
It still gives me nightmares, because I'll be honest, if Alana ever did that, or if I ever did that to Alana, we probably would have killed each other, because we know that this is just something you don't do. You don't try and turn a situation on someone that you're trying to be with.
And
not, you know, if you're going to make a mistake, make a mistake, but you don't try and turn it on the other person to make them feel like shit.
Well, you reminded me about something that when Peter sat her down after sending her home, he started explaining, like, I'm sorry, like, everything I said was true. And she's like, I just don't want to hear it. She's like, I don't want to hear it right now. I mean, I get that, but, like, I don't know. Like, Peter, like, I'm sure that situation is so hard for Peter, and trying to find the right words to say is so difficult. And then her to be like, I don't want to hear it. I just don't want to hear it. I mean, I guess it saves him the conversation.
You're a little younger than I am, so Brendan and I can definitely reference this, but when it comes to, if you've ever experienced a serious breakup, depending on the situation, most of the time all you want to do is kind of give an I hate you.
Well, yeah,
I'm mad at you.
But at the same time, like, you know, this whole situation is like different because like he like chose two girls over her. And, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
He's just trying to explain.
No, I agree. I mean, I was just going to say, she definitely, like, has every right to be upset. I will not take that away from her. Like, according to her, she thought that, like, he was falling in love with her. And he said, I was falling in love with you.
Yeah.
But the way I have so much respect for the girls who hug them goodbye and are like, you know what? I hope this decision is what you wanted. I hope this brings you happiness. I want nothing but happiness for you. Like, just be mature. And then when you get in the car, cry your eyes out, show your emotion, but don't be an ass to him.
Yeah.
Like, he's in the hardest position to have to choose these girls. And I don't know. I just didn't like how she handled it.
Yeah. And you brought up the point about how the girls, like, respecting Peter and trusting his choices. And they were vocal about that in Women Tell All, and I love that, and that they were, like, so respectful towards Peter, and they were like, you know what, I may not have been the one for you, but I always trusted and wished you the best, and nobody really went at Peter. And
I know, I was surprised. I really thought at least, like, Deandra or the girls who gave him shit in the previous episodes, I really thought they were going to go at him. I thought it was interesting that Savannah, of all people, who was, like, you know, definitely a fan favorite of ours, but gone too soon. She totally, I mean, I thought it was, I liked that she asked this question, but you could tell the audience and the other girls didn't like it. But she made a valid point that a lot of people are talking about, is like, you're continuing to keep the girls that are just bringing all this drama. Yeah. Like, is that something that you just personally like?
Yeah, and that's sort of like what I said earlier. Like, I feel like Peter feeds on it, and Peter loves rejection for some reason. And he feels like in his head for some reason that he's supposed to keep him around. I don't know. Like, I would love to hear what's going on in Peter's head when he's making all these decisions.
Savannah's a real one, Dante. That's all I'm going to say. Plain and simple. She seems mature. She seems like she knows what she's doing. She seems like she was there for the right reason.
Yeah.
She doesn't deserve Peter. She deserves better than Peter.
Doesn't everybody?
And also, she was, you know, right. And, you know, disappointing. She was my, I believe, third pick, where, you know, I went strictly beauty and your advice on that.
I did tell you to take Savannah. I thought Savannah would go far.
I
was bad on picking.
Drop dead gorgeous, okay? And she is 27. She's right in her prime. She's a mature woman. She's incredible. Yeah. She seems great to me. I truly think that she was snubbed.
I think I also told you to take Sarah high up.
Yeah.
That didn't go well.
And quick, while we come in on Sarah, you know what I said about Sarah, because
she was quiet during Women Tell All.
Yeah, she was.
Fantasy Bachelor, in order to win, you need to get points, right?
Yeah.
And in order to get points, you need to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, Sarah was a very pretty girl, but she did nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
And she literally didn't even talk. And, you know, I wrote down here, I said, if I got a fantasy point per word every time she said something, I think I'd maybe have 3 points after the season's over. I didn't hear her talk once.
And
she was totally...
Yeah, she didn't talk at all.
Situation.
Before the season started, Reality Steve was like, if this girl makes an impact, she will be the next Bachelorette, because she had like everything going for her in her bio and like resume, and she just didn't talk at all and didn't make
I agree.
Didn't even like try, it seemed like.
I agree. You play to win the game, and you know, it didn't seem like she had that clutch factor, to be honest with you. It didn't seem like she wanted it. And you need people who want it, you know, and that's why everyone else just surpassed her, because clearly just it seemed to be, you know, bachelor at work ethic that she just needs to work on for next season.
Yeah, we could see her in Paradise, maybe, but there's just not much of a story behind her. That's the only thing. And she didn't, like, a lot of girls.
Yeah, but usually those are the Bachelor in Paradise girls.
Yeah. And a lot of people use Women Tell All to sort of plead their case for Bachelor in Paradise, and she just didn't talk at all, like at all. I don't know, but at the end of the episode of Women Tell All, it ends with Rachel Lindsay coming out on stage and speaking
yes,
about...
Yes, wait, don't skip the fact that... Wait, hold on. Don't skip the fact that Peter's parents were probably the highlight
so
of that episode last
so
night when they went to do the house visit. I love his parents.
Mm-hmm.
They're so cute. And the bloopers were really funny. But, yes, Rachel Lindsay, they brought her on to talk about bullying, and that was just, like, heart-wrenching, tugged at the strings, for sure.
Yeah, and I feel like nobody can really relate unless you're, like in the media's eye or have been a part of the Bachelor franchise where you have received these messages, and they're brutal. I'm surprised they could show some of that on TV.
I know.
I was kind of shocked by that, but it's just horrible to see, and I've seen a couple people come out with, like, posting of the photos of some of the messages they've got. Like, Tammy posted a few of hers, and they're just awful. And people went through her work email just to get to her, and that's, like, low. Like, to find her work email and then to say in the subject you're buying a house and then just go on about how you hate her in the message section, like, that's, like, who has the effort to do that?
Well, I think that's the problem, is that, you know, I joke around and call Victoria F. Ponson, when really it's just these internet trolls who have nothing else to do with their lives.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the only people who truly, truly show their frustration over social media are the most just immature, weirdest people in the world. And it sucks that they say this, you know, all these things to really just a group that is just trying to make their way, trying to be on TV. No matter how annoying I think, you know, a guy or girl is on Bachelor or Bachelorette, it's just to try and be in their life and either threaten them.
Yeah, you're not going to slide into their DMs and just give them crap.
Right. They, you know, you just got to remember that these people were regular people, in quotes, regular people before this show. And so this is all hits them fast and hard.
Yeah, and it's all new to all of them.
It was, I will say, good for Bachelor to get that out there, because I think that moving forward also, it is an expectation for Bachelors and Bachelorettes to receive stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a shitty expectation, don't get me wrong, but it is just the world we live in. We got to be realistic about it, is that there are just going to be, you know, people out there who are going to try and waste their time on making you miserable, and they have to, unfortunately, another thing that they have to fight through in future seasons.
Yeah, and there's a difference between, like, criticism that we're giving and hate. And, like, we're not going out saying that, like, screw this person, yada yada yada. And I think it was good that they did this. I thought it was a little, like, random that it was just out of the blue, and I thought it was interesting how they brought out Rachel Lindsay, and I'm sure Rachel Lindsay has received the most crap out of anybody because she was the first African-American bachelorette, and I think it touched a lot of people last night, and I wonder if, like, ABC went to them about this, or if Bachelor producers went to ABC about it, because it is, like, a tough subject to bring up, and I feel like Bachelor has addressed a lot of issues that like nobody else has, because like in Paradise we saw a same gender relationship, and then we see with this them coming out with just sort of addressing situations that need to be addressed.
Honestly, I think Dante, the reason why they did it this season was, I think by far this was the worst group of girls to put together. Mm-hmm. They all were such different personalities, all clashed, all very young.
Yeah.
And they are the generation that grew up with communicating through social media and through text mm-hmm. message and not talking to people face to face. So there's a lot of people out there that just don't agree. And we talk about it on the episode, just don't agree with some of these things that these girls do and mm-hmm. the things they're saying to each other and calling each other out. And it makes sense, because these are the girls and these are the viewers that are used to DMing people and commenting, you know, racial remarks or just all sorts of things.
And I feel like they went at each other at such a personal level this season, like calling Kelsey out for being an alcoholic. Like those are personal level things. Like, okay, she, like this girl went to go talk to Peter for the second time, and then that starts drama. But drama started at such a personal level this season. I feel like it just crossed the line on so many levels with so many different girls.
Yeah, that's the problem, because it's a double-edged sword. You know, you have Tammy saying, I told Peter because I care for you that you're an alcoholic, which is mm-hmm. totally BS. But then you also have the people threatening her through work. And we just, you know, as viewers and as, you know, people who love the show or even hate the show, for anyone out there who just hates it and watches it, you just need to not feel inclined to get involved. And, you know, in my eyes, Tammy just looked extremely stupid lying, saying that, you know, she had a genuine concern for Kelsey. Maybe she did in the beginning, but she totally used it against her at the end. Lied about the pills, lied about the, you know, alcoholism, saying it never came out of her mouth. A bunch of nonsense, truly. Tammy, another waste of time in my eyes, so done talking about her. But truly, it's truly sad way, but powerful way to end a season. Hopefully we can learn from it going into next season.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And segueing into the big news dropped this week, but on Monday on GMA, they announced the next Bachelorette, so I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts, and a lot of people are thrown off by this. It was very random, in my opinion, and a lot of people suspected they would not go with somebody from this past season of Girls, because no, I don't think anybody really stood out besides Kelsey, but Claire Crawley will be the next Bachelorette. She's 38 years old, and she will be turning 39, I believe, in like 2 or 3 weeks. And that's probably the oldest Bachelor or Bachelorette the franchise has ever seen. And her first season was about 8 years ago. And a lot of people that are new to the show just don't know who she is. And the question is, will people tune in? I've already seen all over social media, people are like, I don't want to tune in, my family doesn't want to tune in, because we just don't know this girl, or we don't like her. And so I just love to hear you guys' thoughts on the Bachelorette choice.
See, I personally don't mind the age. I think that it may turn the show back around to the traditional, you know, it's not a lot of guys who will be trying to pitch their fame, being immature. You know, you're going to have a different audience. That doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me that she, you know, you're saying a lot of people don't know who she is. I'm okay with that, because it helps with the, you know, you're going in and open-minded. What mm-hmm. I care about is, for someone like me who has been following Bachelor and Bachelorette for years, I've already seen this play out. I saw Claire on TV.
Yeah.
I saw Claire do Winter Games. I saw Claire do Bachelor in Paradise. I don't want to watch her again mm-hmm. for another season find love. Like, give me someone new. Give me someone that, like, I've never seen before. And that was the whole thing with Hannah Brown. Like, I don't want to see Hannah Brown fight for
and,
love again.
And Nick,
like,
Vial. Everybody felt the same way. Nick was just constantly in the franchise. And then
Nick was one of my least favorite bachelors.
Yeah. And then it was pretty much a waste of the season, too, because him and Victoria broke up, like, a week after
Vanessa.
They broke up, like, a week after, like, the whole season ended. And it was just a waste of our time. And I think Claire will be good. I think she'll be a good bachelorette. I just am not happy with the choice. I feel like someone like Tayshia would have been a great choice for the franchise. Or Kelsey or Tia. Somebody... I don't want to say too young, but somebody like
middle age
around 30. I think 30 would have been great because you wouldn't have got those young people like 23. You'd get in like 26, 27, 33. But we're probably going to see some older men with Claire, and I'm sure they're going to cast men with children. I'm sure of it because, one, it adds drama and a conversation to the season, but also
now
because
mentioned
that's
it,
just the reality.
I don't know who the who was Amanda Sand, the last one with kids that's been on The Bachelor.
I'm sure not the only one.
No, I,
like,
think someone might have been after her, but
well,
it's been a while since the
contestant had kids. Well, do you remember Ken from
Rachel
season? Yeah, he had a daughter, but I'm not sure if those two are the only ones, but they were more notable ones. But I'm sure we're going to see a guy in his mid-30s that has a kid because it's just how life is. And a lot of people, like, have probably been divorced by then because they're going to cast guys in their mid-30s because they want to get that age similarity between Claire and the men because she is 38 turning 39.
And she is going to be, you know, the San Antonio Spurs. She's going to be just consistent, get the job done, have a good episode. My guess is she actually does find love. And, you know, we'll wait to see what happens here. But it's very exciting to see that there's a new person. Hopefully everyone enjoys it.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see if they cast any 40-year-olds. Because I don't think we've
seen that.
In the episodes.
We have a mutual friend and I that was recently interviewed, you know, did the whole process of Bachelorette and did the casting and everything. And, you know, he thought he was a shoo-in for this show. They really liked him and, you know, they were waiting to figure out who they were gonna pick to be the next Bachelorette. And as soon as they knew it was Claire, they didn't say the name, but you know, they told him the reason why they chose not to move forward with him was his age. They were looking for someone much older, which, you know, made me wonder who this next Bachelorette was going to be.
Yeah. And I'm very curious when the list of contestants come out, all these ages, because she is older and I wonder how young they will go because That's a big age gap and an uncomfortable situation for Claire if they throw like a 24-year-old at her or a 25-year-old because that's a good 13-14-year difference. And
that's what I'm here for this episode. I want to see that one kid who's going to come in with the backwards hat, you know, say he was a part of some frat and,
of course,
he was a frat god who just wants to come in and, you know, strike up some conversation with a cougar. I want to see that guy there. We need to see that guy there.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be one. And a few years ago when Ari was The Bachelor, I believe he was like 36 at the time, and he built such a strong connection with Becca, not Becca Kufrin, I believe that's how you pronounce that name, but she made it down to about the final six, I believe, final seven, and then she finally... She had the conversation with Ari and, like, said, "You don't want to know my age," because she was 22.
23.
Yeah, she was like 22, 23.
Or 22. Yeah, she's young.
And Ari was like, "What?" Because she didn't have a clue. And she built that strong connection with Ari. and then the age gap came in, and he just couldn't see past it. And I'm just very curious to see what the producers are going to do with casting.
Well, long story short, I truly, truly believe they should have somehow gotten Chase Rice on this show. I think he got screwed. My boy Chase just absolutely got hosed on the show and disrespected. So, again, my final words are going to be Victoria F. is equivalent to pond scum. And I truly loved, not only being on the show today, but watching this season from a fantasy's perspective. As a now GM and future GM of this show, I truly believe that, there are good things coming for my fantasy team. And shout out to, obviously, the boys who had the fantasy bachelor season with me. We had a great time this year, a lot of good content. So Hannah Ann to the Hall of Fame. And Dante, appreciate you having me on today.
Of course. You bring up a point that I want to bring up quickly. I've been reading a few things, and apparently, if he stays casted, because they may change in this next week because it's official with Claire, but apparently there could be somebody special in the casting for the men. So I'm thinking it's a football player or a small celebrity, because apparently there's been a lot of excitement about one person, and football is the only sport that somebody could be on the show, because NBA's in season, NHL's in season, and baseball's in season. So I'm very curious to see if this person is casted and who it is.
Yeah, no, I definitely am curious. I didn't hear that rumor, but I do want to just subside any rumors that this may cause, because that person is not me. So I just want to make sure that everyone knows
I
that.
I hope it's not you.
We don't need another Jed situation.
Right, as I sit here and get the dirtiest look from the one on my face, I realize that's a joke. So, can confirm, not me. Happy to be here.
Of course.
Well, thank you, Brendan, for all your feedback for this episode. Before we end, I just want to quickly touch on a few things. Some in the Bachelor world, some outside. Tyler C., we are sending our love to, as his mom had passed away this weekend, as well as Chad, who is a little bit of an older alum, who we are sending our condolences to him as well, as he has been hospitalized following a suicide threat. Another condolence I have is for me and Brendan's, our home, Nashville, Tennessee. I did not get to watch The Bachelorette last night, or Bachelor last night, because we were in a severe tornado warning. But the city of Nashville is currently under a lot of stress and sadness was brought today just from the disaster of the tornado. So just asking everyone to pray for Nashville. If you know of anyone, reach out, make sure everyone is safe. As well as if you can donate, volunteer, do anything you can. There's a lot of Bachelor, Bachelorette alum who are living here, still live here, and we are definitely praying for Nashville.
Yeah, definitely. So thank you for tuning in to After the Final Rose. I want to thank Brendan for joining us today. We love having guests. And if you don't already, make sure you follow us on Instagram at @ATFR_podcast, as well as checking us out on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and other podcast streaming platforms. So thank you for tuning in. And next week's going to be a big week. Will Peter find love? What is this mysterious ending that we have been teased all season? And we're going to find out next week. I am so curious. It has been a long season, and I hope that it was all worth it for Peter, because I can't go through another season with nobody getting like engaged at the end. And so I'm very excited.
Yeah, I'm
excited
ready
to see
this finale.
Yeah. So thank you for everyone for tuning in.
Bye, guys. Thank you.